Charles, in your book, all of the water disappears from the lakes, and you take us on a tour of the lake bed. So we see landforms and shipwrecks and a whole lot of mud. And what gave you the idea to show kids what the lakes would look like without water?
Well, actually, it was from looking at some maps that are put out by the National Geophysical Data Center that show basically what's on the lake floors. And I, for one, had certainly not given it much thought till seeing these maps. But these maps have some really cool features, like ridges of rock and all kinds of neat stuff. And I thought this would be a great idea for a children's book.
What do you think some of the coolest features that you've been able to put into the book are?
Well, there's a suspected meteor impact crater on the east side of Lake Ontario. And it's not confirmed as a meteor impact crater, but it's a lot of other things that it could have been ruled out. So that's pretty neat. There's also, to me, what's most exciting is the ridge of rock or ridges of rock underneath Lake Huron that in some cases have maybe 400 feet of relief. And most of the maps we see of the Great Lakes are basically just a flat blue. So seeing what's under the lakes, I thought was really exciting.
When I was reading the book, I thought, you know, if I were a kid, this would be pretty scary to me because all of the water goes away from the lakes and, you know, there are fish dying in one picture. Why did you decide to show us the bottom of the lakes in that way?
Well, actually, that's pretty much how the only way I could figure out to show them. I mean, if we're talking about features that are on the lake floors, then somehow we've got to get rid of the water to see those, and sort of it's a fanciful sort of draining away of the lakes, if you will. The purpose of the book is almost twofold. One is to show that the lake floors are pretty cool and there's some neat features under there, but also to sort of reinforce that, hey, you know, we better make sure this never happens, you know, so it sort of goes to the protection of the lakes as well.
The culprit in your book is water usage among communities in the Great Lakes Basin. And there are rules that govern water usage among those communities. Mm-hmm. One of them is that they have to return the amount of water that they use and that communities outside the basin can't use the water without approval. Why did you pick that as the culprit?
Well, that's a good question. And it sort of goes back to the original sort of manuscript draft. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, the villain could be actually just everybody taking a little bit of water thinking that it doesn't matter. But the cumulative effect of that mindset causes a problem. And I think that's true. I work in environmental consulting, and I can attest that that's basically how major contamination sites are created, is that everybody thinking, oh, well, this one little thing won't matter, or this little drop of tetrachloroethylene won't matter. But if everybody has that mindset, then yeah, there's going to be a problem.
You've been talking to some of the kids who are reading the book. Do you think that message is getting across?
Yeah. I think, you know, initially they really kind of like to sort of see the pictures and hear and learn about the lake floors and whatnot. But I think it's important to, you know, relay to kids that they're actually going to be the ones making decisions down the road about Great Lakes withdrawals and whatnot. And recently I was just talking to somebody and remembering back to when I was a kid, we used to sail a lot on the Great Lakes. And I remember being in the middle of Lake Erie, sort of out of the sight of land, and sailing through soap suds. It was terrible. I mean, Lake Erie was horrible. And this was in the early 70s. And it was like you're in a bathtub with soap suds. And so that's more of a water quality issue. But I think it sort of became a problem because nobody really paying much attention. So I think the more attention we pay to the Great Lakes in terms of just making sure no wacky ideas about withdrawal go through, then that's good. That's what we need to do.
Charles Ferguson Barker, thank you so much.
Thank you.